3 feet tall and full of questions. I must have thought I was the smartest man alive. I didn't always have the answers to every little how and where and why. My daddy, why is the sky so blue today? Does Jesus really hear me when I pray? When I grow up, will I be just like you? Will I be tall and strong and brave? There is no power on earth like a father's love, so big and so strong as your father's love. A promise that's sacred, a promise from heaven above. No matter when it's cold, especially when you're lonely, when your little heart is lost to find the way. I know the world is always changing, but remember, son, some things never change. And even when my life on earth is done, there will be a part of me in you, and something far forever. Nothing's ever going to take my love from you. There is no power when you most needed me. Was I there enough to make you feel the power of love? Your father's love.
Thank you, Ron. That was very uplifting. I would also like to say Happy Father's Day to the fathers that do not have biological children but fill the role in someone's family. In our family, we call them Uncle Dad. So just don't want them to be left out. This morning's scripture is from the book of Luke, as you can see on the screen behind me, chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. This is where Luke is documenting in his letter to Theophilus the works of God through Jesus, and where he speaks to the power of prayer. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give you a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We pray God's blessing on the reading of his holy word.
I hate snakes. When I was a Boy Scout, I did a lot of camping. And every so often, I would run into a snake. I can remember at least four snake encounters. Rattlesnakes, cotton mouse, a black snake, and an unidentified snake that jumped at me and missed. Even today, when I see a snake, I go the other way, if I can. That's why this saying of Jesus gets my attention. If your child asks for a fish, would you give a snake instead of a fish? It's a rhetorical question because the answer is obvious. Of course not. If your child asked for an egg, would you give a scorpion? Of course not. Any parent in his or her right mind is not going to give something harmful to a child. If we who are sinful know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good to us? The Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus called God. Of course, all names for God are metaphorical. God is greater than any name. God is greater than we can comprehend. So we use names for God to compare the incomprehensible with something we know. In the Old Testament, God is known by many names. For example, God is called King and Judge and Shepherd. People knew what a king was, what a judge was, what a shepherd was. And so calling God by those names made God a little easier to understand. Now, by far the most common name for God in the Old Testament is Lord. Over 7,000 times, God is called Lord or Lord God. People knew what a Lord was. A Lord was someone who was in charge. Sometimes God was called Lord of Hosts, meaning God is in charge of everything. Sometimes God was called Holy One or Most High or Almighty. There were many Hebrew names for God, such as Adonai, which means Lord, and El, which means God with the plural Elohim. There are variations of El, like El Elyon, meaning Most High, El Roy, meaning God who sees, El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty. But the most frequent Hebrew name for God was Yahweh. At least we think that's how it was pronounced. The Jews stopped pronouncing the name aloud long ago. They feared that pronouncing the name could profane the name. So whenever Jews would read aloud the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, and they came across the name Yahweh, they would substitute Adonai, meaning Lord. Because Yahweh occurs in the Hebrew Bible some 6,800 times, and Adonai occurs over 400 times, our English translation of the Old Testament gives the name for God as Lord over 7,000 times. Now, surprisingly, Jesus did not call God Lord all that much. Rather, the dominant name for God that Jesus used was Father, or Father in Heaven, or Heavenly Father. Jesus was not the first to describe God as the Father in heaven, but Jesus made that the centerpiece of his talk about God. For Jesus, Father was the primary metaphor for God. Now, of course, our idea of God as Father is colored by our experience of our earthly fathers. Some of us did not have an earthly father who was involved in our lives when we were growing up. Others of us did have an earthly father who was involved in our lives, but he might not have been the kind of father we wanted him to be. My father was a good man, honest, hardworking, committed to his family. But he was not the kind of father I wanted him to be. He was a disciplinarian, stern, no nonsense. He had high expectations for his children. And frankly, during my younger years, I was afraid of him. I never got into any serious trouble because I knew he was a stern and no nonsense man, and I did not want to get on the wrong side of him. It was only after I became an adult that I began to appreciate his efforts to be a good father. For example, my father was very generous. He paid for me to go to college, and he paid for me to go to seminary. Now, I still work part-time to make money, but I did not have to take out loans for my education, as many students must do. The fact that my father paid for seminary was frankly surprising. It was surprising because he did not want me to go to seminary. He did not want me to become a minister. He thought that it was a waste of my talents to be a minister, and he knew that most ministers don't make a lot of money. Well, I don't think it was a waste of my talents, but he was right about the money part. After I became a pastor and had a family of my own, my father continued to help us out financially, and we needed it. Our children could not have gone to college without his help. They still had to take out loans, but the money he provided made their college education possible. Linda and I would not have been able to start retirement accounts without his help. Every Christmas, he would give us a generous check, and we put that check into our retirement accounts. For several years, we took vacations with my parents, and my father paid for most of it. Again, we were on a tight budget, and we could not have afforded to take those vacations had not my father provided most of the help. My father was never very verbal in expressing his love, but I've come to recognize that he expressed his love through his generosity. Now, Linda's experience with her father was quite different. Her father did not make a lot of money. He couldn't help her out financially. Plus, he died when she was a young adult. But Linda and her father were very close. She was probably closer to her father than she was to her mother. So the image of God as our Heavenly Father might be different for Linda than it is for me. That's because our experiences with our own fathers were different. We don't know that much about Jesus' earthly father. We know his name was Joseph. We know he was a carpenter in Nazareth. We know that he was a righteous man. We're told that when his fiancée Mary became pregnant, he was going to dismiss her quietly to avoid any public disgrace. We know that Joseph listened to God. Several times God spoke to Joseph in dreams, and Joseph followed what God asked him to do. We also know that Joseph raised Jesus in the faith. When Jesus was an infant, Joseph and Mary took him to the temple to dedicate him to God. When Jesus was 12 years old, they took him back to the temple in Jerusalem for the Passover. We know that Jesus was obedient to his parents when they returned home to Nazareth. My guess is that Jesus appreciated his earthly father, Joseph. So when Jesus called God his heavenly father, It was a comparison based upon a positive experience that he had with his earthly father. Now, had Joseph been a bad father, I wonder if Jesus would have called God his Father in heaven. Had Joseph been unrighteous, uncaring, unobservant, unloving, someone who was absent or neglected the family, I wonder if Jesus would have described God as his heavenly Father. If Father had a negative connotation for Jesus, I wonder if he would have described God that way. But Joseph seems to have had a good relationship with his earthly father. So Father had a positive connotation. And when Jesus talked about God, he called God his Father, or his heavenly Father, or his Father in heaven. In our scripture for this morning, Jesus is talking about persistence in prayer. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Yet, we all know it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we pray, and we don't get what we pray for. We ask, we search, we knock, and the door's not open. I've been thinking about one of my friends. His daughter was in the hospital for over a month. She had a blockage. They tried to treat it for 2 weeks in the hospital with medicine. When that didn't work, they did surgery. My friend asked me and Linda to pray for his daughter, and we've been praying for her for almost a month now. We've been asking, searching, knocking. I've been calling my friend regularly to check on his daughter to see how she's doing. Every time I say, "Is she home yet?" he said, "No, not yet." Last time I called, they were expecting her to come home this weekend. She's made some progress, but it's been painfully slow, and she has a long way to go. Now, I do believe that God answers prayer, but sometimes his answer seems to take a long time. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that God doesn't always answer our prayers as we want them to be answered. And that's why Jesus told us to keep asking, keep searching, keep knocking. Don't give up. Remember who God is. God is our Father in heaven. God loves us as children. If earthly fathers try to treat their children the right way, how much more will our Heavenly Father treat us the right way? That doesn't mean that God will give us everything we want, but God will give us what we really need. I did a quick count of how many times Jesus called God Father, and it's a lot. Now, don't quote me on this because I may have missed some, so the count may not be exactly accurate, but I counted 4 times in Mark's gospel, 15 times in Luke, 46 times in Matthew, and 115 times in John that Jesus called God Father. And God is called Father in every other book in the New Testament except for one, the very short book of 3 John. The followers of Jesus call God Father because they learned it from Jesus. It's not that Jesus forgot about the other names for God. After all, Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom of God, and that's based upon the idea of God as king. But for Jesus and for most Christians, God is our Father in heaven. On this Father's Day, we think about our own fathers. Some of us have wonderful fathers who are with us now, and we celebrate their presence. Others of us had wonderful fathers who are not with us anymore, but we remember them with great gratitude and thanksgiving. And yet, for some of us, our earthly fathers might not have been all that we wanted them to be. They might not have been there when we needed them or been there in the right way for us. But Jesus promised that our Heavenly Father will be there for us whenever we need Him. Our Heavenly Father will not give us everything that we want, but our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And when you think about it, that means that our Heavenly Father will give us Himself. And if our Heavenly Father gives us Himself, what more do we need? Our Father in heaven, we call you Father because that comes closest to expressing how we feel about you. We call you Father because you love us as your children and you will give us what we really need. We call you Father because you are our source, our creator, our origin. You made us. You sustain us. You love us. You uphold us. And you will draw us to yourself even when life comes to an end. We call you Father. And in that word, we express our love for you. And we feel your love for us. Help us, our Father, never to give up, but to keep asking, to keep searching, to keep knocking in the assurance that you will give us the Holy Spirit, that you will give us yourself, which is all we really need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing hymn. And we invite you to consider your relationship to the Father in heaven. It may be that some of you would want to profess your faith in Jesus, to acknowledge Him as your Savior and Lord as we pray to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to follow Him as a believer in baptism. If that would be your decision, we'd invite you to come to the front to make that profession of faith in Christ. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, you've known God as your Father for many years, but you're not a part of the church family, you'd want to unite with us. We'd welcome that decision as well. Also invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 69, Children of the Heavenly Father.